Go ahead and call to order this meeting of the Amador Air District Board of Directors for Tuesday, May 18th, 2021 at 1:30. And please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America. The United States of America. To the Republic of America. One nation.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
Second.
So we had a motion from, was it Crew or Netto?
Oh, Netto.
Okay, and then a second from Director Crew?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to do a roll call, Herminia?
Jeff Brown?
Here.
Bob Stimson?
Here.
Frank Ax?
Yes.
Richard Forrester?
Yes.
Brian Onetto?
Here.
Pat Crew?
Here.
Diane Ratton?
Here.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you said here, does that mean you're voting yes?
Yes.
Okay. That was an implicit, I'm here and we're voting yes. All right.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Public matters not on the agenda. These are discussion items only. Only no action will be taken. Any person may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of the Amador Air District Board of Directors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff and or a committee for a report and recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. Please note there are 5 minutes time limit. Anybody have any public comment? Any of our Zoomers, would you like to say anything? Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like we have any. Let's move on to administrative matters. Item number one is approval of the minutes.
I don't think John Colburn is a member of the City of Plymouth Council anymore. So.
He is not. After our meeting, I got an email from the City of Plymouth, and our new representative is Mayor Keith
White.
Keith White, yes, sir.
Okay, but I don't think our minutes should reflect John as the council, because at that time he was no longer a councilman.
Okay, I was not aware of that.
Oh, and all the votes, and it should be... he should be taken off.
Okay.
Yeah, on the first one, Herminia, mm-hmm. I think the vote is 8-0, not 6-0. It's 8-0 all the way through.
On the minutes?
Yes. Did someone show up?
Directors Ryanda and Ratton didn't. They abstained because they weren't weren't members of the board yet at that meeting.
Okay. Got it.
Mr. Chair, back to that question, should they replace where it says absent Directors Forrester and Colburn, should it be Directors Forrester and White? Since he was technically, even though he wasn't here, he was the rep, or just leave it?
If he was appointed to be on it already.
Which I don't know.
I don't know. I got the email probably a couple weeks after the meeting that we had. So
that was just a question.
Can you clarify on page 4 who the one no vote was on the Rossini brothers?
That was Susan Bragstad.
Okay. You might want to just note that in the minutes, so put it in parentheses after the one.
Any other questions, corrections, or comments on the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes with corrections as noted.
Second.
Or additions to.
Okay, so we have a motion from Director Forrester, a second from Director Brown. You'll call a roll call vote.
Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Frank Ax?
Aye.
Richard Forrester?
Aye.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Diane Ratton?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Moving on to item number 2, the Fetcher and Company Air District 2019-2020 audit presentation.
Good afternoon, Herminia Perry, Air Pollution Control Officer. Every 2 years we get an audit. This year we started our audit back in December of last year, and Sandy Supp is here with us today to do a brief presentation on her findings of our audit for the years 2019 and 2020. You want to take it away, Sandy?
Sure. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Sandy Supp. I'm an audit manager with Fetcher and Company CPAs. I've done this audit, let's see, I think this is my fourth time doing it, and we do it every 2 years. So I'm pretty familiar with the district. I'd like to, I don't know if everyone has a copy of the report in front of them.
Yes, we do.
Okay. I'd like to share my screen, actually, if I could do that. Let's see. Okay. Can you see the report?
Yes.
Yes.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to briefly go through the report, and if you have any questions, I guess it'd probably be best just to wait till the end. I'll try to make it very brief. Just going to the page one. Page one and two is actually our opinion letter, we call it. And this is where we, you know, give you a clean opinion, or if there were findings, we would mention them here. But as you can see, at the top of page two, there's our opinion. And in our opinion, we believe that the financial statements are fairly stated. So in other words, we gave a clean opinion to the district's financial statements. Moving on, let's see. Page three is the balance sheet, or a statement in net position, or also known as the balance sheet. And pretty much nothing too strange pops out at me. It's pretty much, you know, similar to the 2018, which we don't have here, but you know, not a whole lot has changed. Of course, net pension liability continues to increase, but that's no surprise. So then going on to the next page, this is just a very brief overview of 2020. And this tells you that the net position actually increased by $58,000 during the year. And then the next page is fiscal year 2019, and you see a reduction in net position of $108,000. And that was due primarily, I believe, to the loan that the board that the district gave to the Vicini brothers, if I remember it correctly. Because the loan was essentially forgiven if the company stays in business for 3 years, I believe, right, is the agreement?
Correct.
It will be forgiven. And therefore, we expensed it rather than showing it on the balance sheet, because a decision was made to forgive. And we're, you know, assuming that the company is going to be in business for 3 years. That's the conservative approach, and probably, you know, the safest way to report it. And then if for some reason it does not stay in business, then we would reverse that entry in a future year. But yeah, this is how it's being reported. So, okay. And that's just a reconciliation between the balance or the statement of revenues and expenditures and then the statement of activities. So, okay. As far as the notes go, there's nothing really too significant for me to point out. Okay, and there's the budget to actual on page 19 is for the budget to actual schedule for fiscal year 2020. And then on page 20 is budget to actual for fiscal year 2019. Okay, so are there any questions regarding the financial statements?
Any questions from the board? I don't believe at this time.
Okay. Well, if you ever do have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. You can either call the office or you can send me an email directly.
Yes, the report seems very straightforward, so and there didn't appear to be any issues. So.
No. And also, I should just touch upon the management report as well, and I assume you have a copy of this report also.
Yes.
This is just basically we are required to communicate certain information to the board, and that's the purpose of this report. And here again, there's nothing very significant. Pretty much it was status quo. It just lists some of the accounting estimates on page 2. And on page 3, the audit adjustments that we made. And they're mostly just to convert from the fund basis of accounting that the county's system is maintained on in versus the full accrual, which includes capital assets and long-term debt. So that basically it's the GASB 34 entries pretty much are all the adjustments. And there are a couple accruals for revenue and accruals for payables, which were recorded in fiscal year 21, and we had to post them back to the prior year. So it's all a matter of timing.
Okay. Any board comments?
You know, I have one. Something like the long-term liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Could basically, would that help us at all to prepay that?
The net pension liability?
Yeah.
Well, that number is derived directly from the actuarial report. And because you are part of the county's plan, retirement PERS, CalPERS, I I think it would, you pretty much have to follow what the county does, because it's there, you're part of the county's plan. And those numbers are taken. I have to wait. One of the reasons that this report is delayed, probably the main reason, is because I have to wait until the county issues their report, because I derive those numbers directly from the county report. I take a percent of the district's contribution to PERS, which is like point, I can't remember the percent, it's in the audit report, but it's a percent of the county's liability. So I think it's all driven by the county. I don't think the district can actually do anything about that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other board questions or comments? Any of our Zoomers? Okay. Well, again, I think
thank you, Sandy.
The report's very straightforward, Sandy. And thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you for having us today.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Moving on to item three. This is AB 617 Implementation Funds and Resolution 21-03. So
item three, Assembly Bill 617, Implementation Funds and Resolution 2103. We started participating in this Assembly Bill last year. It essentially gives the district grant money to put into greener programs to improve the air quality. We took this implementation funds and put it towards our smoke reduction bend program. And with this this grant money, I've been able to extend more of our neighborhood bend programs. I added another bend this year, this time around, to our neighborhood bend program. So it's been giving me a little bit more flexibility to add more to the program. The program is so used by upcountry folks that it's great that we're able to put a little bit back, more back into it. It might even allow me to extend with the Wood Angels partnership if we can get that going in the future. So every year, though, I will need to redo a resolution and get a grant signed by the agreement I signed, but I do need the resolution signed by our chairman, and that's every year. So.
Okay. And this is for a grant in the amount of the $10,813?
That's what is estimated that we're going to get this time around. Last year we got 12,000, a little over 12,000. This amount can go up a tad bit depending on if any other districts drop out.
So the smoke reduction bin program is 55,000. Is this added on to that, to using that program?
Yes.
And that's in the budget?
Yes. I have it allocated under the revenue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other board questions, comments? Any Zoomers? Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Director Stimson and a second by Director Forrester to approve the resolution. Could you perform the roll call vote, please?
Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Frank Axe?
Aye.
Richard Forrester?
Aye.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Pat Grew?
Aye.
And Diana Ratton?
Aye.
Thank you.
Great. So moving on to item four. Vicini Brothers loan agreement.
So Vicini Brothers LLC loan agreement, at our last board meeting, the board decided to, forgive the loan as long as the Vicini stay in business for the next 3 years. One-third of the loan will be forgiven each year they're in business. If the Vicini's was to go out of business before the third-year anniversary of the signed agreement, the remaining time would be prorated at that amount will be due for payment to the district along with any interest accrued. I worked with Glenn Splitzer from County Council, and we drafted up a new agreement with the new terms. I sent it to Kathy Vicini for her review and approval and any comments that she had. She came back and said that she had no comments. So I bring to the board the new agreement between Vicini Brothers, LLC, and the Amador Air District for approval and authorized for signatures.
Okay, any board questions or comments? So Glenn drafted this?
Yes, I took the first stab, and then Glenn reviewed it and made any edits necessary.
Okay, yeah, it seems like it was pretty comprehensive. Any other board questions or comments? Any public comment? Do we have any public today?
No, we do not.
Okay.
I move to approve the agreement and authorize the chairman's signature on it.
Second.
So we have a motion from Director Forrester and a second by Director Stimson to approve the new agreement. Could you call the roll call vote, please?
Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Frank Axe?
Aye.
Richard Forrester?
Aye.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Diane Ratton?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, motion is approved. We're moving on to item five, which is the draft budget for fiscal year 2021-2022.
Thank you. So for our draft budget 2021-2022, our general approach to the budget has been similar to past budgets where the expenses match the revenues, with the exception of the special projects line items. Those usually we try to take out of our reserves so that that reserve comes down a little bit each year. This year I have, for special projects, are budgeted at $80,000. 75 for our next round of CCAT participants, five projects at $15,000 each. Letters have been sent out to the cities and agencies requesting a list of the equipment in need for replacement. The remaining 5,000 are for previously approved special projects. Community projects are budgeted at $204,000. That is a $94,000 increase from last fiscal year. The purpose of this increases to reduce our reserves and provide a possible green vehicle incentive police program, which if the budget is good, I will bring back to the next board meeting as a pilot program with more details. My goal with that one is to supply a green vehicle to help supply a green vehicle to each of the police departments in our cities of Sutter Creek, Jackson, and I own three vehicles at $33,000 each, so that would be $99,000. I also have in there $50,000 for the electric vehicle charging station program. I was able to up that to $10,000 per project, so I'm still estimating five projects at $10,000 each, and then I have the smoke reduction bin program in there at $55,000.
Okay, so any questions from the board?
This is Supervisor Brown. Why was it the green vehicle police incentive?
I want to put back some of that money into, we are already doing the smoke reduction bin program. I know our police departments, I've been talking to some of them, of the chiefs, and they're in the need. Their police cars are in the need too. Some of them are very old. So I think that's a great way to start getting a little bit greener out there, taking an old police pursuit car or an old car out of commission and replacing it with a greener type of car, either hybrid, electric. And I think that would be a good use of our money.
Okay, so we're not talking 100% electrical. We're talking possibly be a hybrid.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's pretty much for cleaner emissions.
Correct.
Vehicles.
Correct. I mean, the purpose, again, is to take an old car. car out, they need to decommission an old car, an old gas car that has been, that's old.
We just purchased a newer vehicle, cleaner emissions for our code enforcement using the funds from last year.
Yes.
Along with ACTC funds.
Correct.
Worked out nice.
Yeah, that was the reason I was kind of curious is that, you know, infrastructure, you know, as code enforcement or anything else, as yourself. Yeah. I was kind of wondering, why are you getting a new changing out a new vehicle? As I was reading this.
No.
Because I see the costs of your escape and.
Down the line, maybe.
So, Herminia, you just doubled the electric vehicle charging station budget?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and hopefully that will be more of an incentive for the other cities that at one point did not want to participate. Hopefully now, I know that the city of Jackson is interested in doing something with their electric vehicle charging stations. Amador City is on board, and hopefully this will allow them to do more with the Brewers. And hopefully the city of Ione also will find some place where they can install a city electric charging station. So I'm hoping that this will bring more incentive to, I know things right now because of COVID have skyrocketed and everything is through the roofs, but hopefully this will push them a little bit closer to taking that plunge and deciding to do that. I did reach out to Paul Bramall. He does not want to talk to us, or he didn't reply back to me. So, you know, maybe that didn't work out as great, but.
Was he upset with us?
Listen, he didn't even call you back?
No.
He hasn't gotten around to it?
Correct. Yeah. Maybe he's on vacation.
How long ago did you call him, roughly?
What's that?
How long ago did you call him, roughly?
About a couple weeks ago. I emailed him, too.
Pretty long vacation.
Herminia, did
Sir.
The sheriff have any interest in electric vehicle?
Our sheriff?
Yeah.
I did not reach out to our sheriff. I left it just because it's new ground. I left it to three vehicles each for the cities. If it does seem to be, if this does work and it's successful, I do plan on bringing it back maybe perhaps next year and opening it up to our fire chiefs and maybe our sheriff.
I'm starting to think I understand why my electric rates are going up, though.
Why is that?
Because they're doing all the incentives for wind, solar, green vehicles, green this, green that. I'm sure the money's coming.
We're going, yep.
Recharging.
Yeah, recharging is right.
Did we ever get any update of how these charging stations charge? I mean, as financially charge?
It all depends how you set them up. Some people, you do have lots of flexibility on how to set them up. If the cities install them, they could take on the electricity themselves. They could include apps in there that the people charging their cars get charged all the electricity. I mean, just all depends how you set up the agreement.
Any other board questions or comments?
Well, I will say, I do like the, as far as CCAT participants, the five projects. It's
a great program that, you know, there's all our cities and our agencies. You know, I did send this out to AWA as well. It's a great way to get those gross polluting old equipment out and replacing it with something new that meets the tiers and meets all the ACTM requirements. And, you know, from the past, our past success on this program has been great.
So I will say a lot of the old equipment, there's some that might pollute a lot, but a lot of it really burns pretty clean. It always starts. You can let it sit for 5 years, it'll still run. A lot of the newer stuff doesn't have the luxury. You let it sit, and the computer board went bad, or this went bad, or that circuit's bad. the state's forced us to do a lot of this stuff, but it's the price of everything is going out of sight, and people are wondering why they're getting sticker shock. Well, hey, you run cost up, it goes right down the line.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is quite at the right place, but there should have been a public comment. But at some point, I'd like to make a comment, if it's okay with the chair.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess my comment is talking to a guy today, he cuts firewood. And they told him he can no longer use his dump truck that he delivers firewood in. It's like a 2000 Dodge or 2000 Ford. Pretty good shape, four-wheel drive, like one ton. So he went down to see about what it cost to have a new motor put in it. And they told him like $30,000 to $40,000. And he said, well, that was kind of out. And then he said, well, maybe if he can get the motor. And then he looked at buying a new rig, and they're like $70,000 to $80,000. And they're like 7 to 8 months out. And I guess part of the point of being, I wonder if when, maybe it's better coming to the Board of Supervisors. I'd like to send another letter to the Air Resources Board, CARB, California Air Resources Board, saying, hey, especially in the light of COVID, in the light of the homeless people around, could they put some of their rules on a shelf for a while, or give like, what would you call it, a forbearance period? I know they've done some, and I thought another man, he's a contractor. He has a 2006 Ford F-350 or F-450. I think it was 2006. Yeah, low miles, nice vehicle, has all the boxes and the rack on it. He has to sell it out of state. And he said, you know, it's a good truck. He says, it always runs good. And the people out of state know California has to sell their vehicles, so they're not paying much. So it's kind of a bloodbath. And if a person has the money, yeah, they can afford to do it. It hurts them. But, hey, what about if a guy delivers wood? He's not going to go broke. But what about that's the only vehicle he has to deliver wood, and the guy's doesn't have much money, he's out of business. And then I guess he can go on welfare and apply for homeless and stimulus and whatever else. I'm not throwing that at you, Herminia. I mean, it's just something I think we need to bounce that back at the state again, because, hey, do I like clean air? Sure, I don't have a problem with that. But you look at the putt-putt engine. Nobody said get rid of them. There used to be, millions of them, Pat? You probably remember those as a kid, don't you?
No.
Yeah, they're all, now they're in some.
What are you trying to say, Brian?
Well, I'm saying hey, over time things change, and it doesn't hurt many people. Comes about, doesn't cost a whole lot just to get something better, newer and better. But when you force it, hurts a lot of people.
Yeah, and I hear you. You know, your letter, it never hurts. We did do it last year when everything started, or maybe 2 years ago when California started coming out with all these new stringent rules. We did send out a letter. We did get response back saying that, unfortunately, you know, they can't make exceptions for one county or one district, or, you know, it's straight across the board, because if they start making exceptions for one, then they have to do it for all of them. And so it's just, it is a very disconcerting situation, because there are lots of people out there that these regulations are hurting. And unfortunately, there are many districts, if not all districts, don't have much and to do in it. So.
Well, that's true.
I think at the very least it would be nice to stretch out the time for implementing the restrictions and so on. So
I agree. People, and that's something maybe put on a future agenda, maybe send another letter and say, hey, it's a concern we have. And
okay.
That was all. Thank you.
But this is to CARB?
Yeah. We could probably even maybe CC like a, I don't know, maybe governor, but I don't know if that would do much good or not. But he is facing a recall, so maybe he might hear.
Herminia, is this limited to the regulations to commercial uses of vehicles, or just any personal vehicle?
For what, Frank?
You know, Director Aneto mentioned this gentleman that has a truck and he delivers wood. Is it because he's running a business? And
no, it's all based on the gross weight of the vehicle.
Okay. So it's just whatever the vehicle type is, and they send you a letter when it gets a certain age. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So So these vehicles are at least 10, 20 years old or what?
Yes.
10 years old?
So they're going by, they go by tiers. And, you know, right now they're in the, what tier are they in, Peterson?
You know, press the button.
Yeah. Right now everything's tier 4 final for diesels in general. But this rule, which they enforce through DMV, requires that I believe it's 15,000 gross or greater are impacted by the rule, and that they have a certain amount of time that they can utilize them. But some have already been impacted, and some will be impacted within the next year.
I think it started like in the 1990s, the cars that got affected 2 years ago, and then it's just trickling down.
Okay, so they're almost 30 years old. Okay.
They don't have to be 30 years old. I mean,
no, they don't.
Okay,
it's just all.
I've seen diesel trucks 2006 high dollar rigs being chopped in two. So, and that was like 5 years ago. So you're talking 10 years old, basically.
Yeah, it's
you're probably looking at years, model years 2008 or 9 and older, maybe.
Yeah.
Around that, don't quote me on that, but somewhere in that range.
Very close. Yeah, it was just pointed out. We should probably bring this back as a separate item because
yeah.
we were talking about the discussion. But I'm more than happy to talk about it, and I think it does impact folks. So let's go ahead and consider that at a future date.
Thank you.
Because I think part of that, don't you get a waiver if you have low enough mileage? Or was
sometimes
that in the earlier tiers?
Sometimes you can, but I'm not sure.
Because I always thought, let them petition to get the mileage up. Because a wood hauler, if it was 10 grand mileage a year instead of five, he probably doesn't run that hard.
And I think
why don't you two keep talking about that, and we'll pass the budget.
Okay. Yeah, we'll
bring that
we'll
back.
We'll bring it back, okay.
Very important subject.
It is.
It is.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's unimportant. Let's bring it back, though.
Okay.
I guess we won't be able to sit together anymore.
Right? All right. So, are there any other board questions or comments on the draft budget? And is there any public comment? So, you're looking at direction and recommend the budget be brought back to the next meeting. Do we need a vote for that?
Approve the draft budget. So approve this budget
okay.
and then bring back to our next board meeting as a final.
I'm looking for a motion to approve the draft budget as is.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'll second.
So we have a motion from Director Crew and a second from Director Stimson to approve the draft budget and bring it back. Could you call the roll call vote, please?
Jeff Brown.
Aye.
Bob Stimson.
Aye.
Frank Axe.
Aye.
Richard Forster.
Aye.
Brian Onetto.
Aye.
Pat Crew.
Aye.
Diana Ratton.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, so item number 6, the air pollution control officer's update, and I'll let you take it from there.
So I'll make this very brief. Our smoke reduction bin program is up and running. I started the neighborhood bin section of it, so we did our first 2-week round just last week. Next week, we are starting up a new neighborhood, and it's going to go on until August, 2 weeks at a time. We have 6 right now on the schedule. In addition to, I've also started our free disposal days at the Pine Grove Transfer Station. This past Saturday was our first event. I haven't heard anything bad, so no bad news is good news. Our electric school bus for the Amador County Unified School District update. This one, it seems like it's finally going to get finalized. I got the first check of our Moyer program for our RAP funds for $200,000. I requested the other $200,000 already for year 23. We're going to combine these two checks together, and we're going to buy the Amador Unified School District and the electric school bus that's going to be used in the city of Jackson, excuse me, within their routes for the school in town. And our financials through May 12, 2021. Those are for informational. If anybody has any questions,
do you know when that might happen?
The school bus. I am hoping that by the end of June, they should be within, on my end, I should have already cut the check, knock on wood, and the school bus is ready. It's already, it's just sitting at the Sacramento lot waiting for us to pay it and for them to get delivered.
It's fully electric?
Fully electric.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've ordered it and it's already showed up?
It was already made. It was already done.
Already there?
Yep. The quotes have been done. This project started probably about 2 years ago, if not longer. Jim was originally the one that started it. It went through Mike, and now I'm trying to finalize it.
How many passengers is it?
Regular school bus. Yeah. So they did bring it up here a couple of months ago and did a whole route through the county with it. Bus drivers got to drive it. They were pretty happy with it. At the parking lot at the Unified School District, they have already the means to be able to charge it, so they didn't need to do any electrical work to be able to charge this bus. So they're very excited about it.
On the smoke reduction bins in the Pine Grove Station,
mm-hmm.
Is that posted on the website?
I've sent it out to the Amador Community News for them to post it on the Facebook.
Okay.
I've sent it out to the radio, so they have it. I know Michelle from Code Enforcement has sent it out. I know it's been posted on the Next Door. Director Jeff Brown posted for me, so it's out there. People know about it, and it's out there.
All right.
What was the overall cost of that bus? Is it the $400,000, or is there additional?
The bus ended up being $389,000, roughly.
You don't have to know how far I'm going to charge, do you? Probably depends on the terrain it's going over.
Because they're using it within just city, it's not going up and down hills. There, it could go up to, I think, about 100 miles, 150 miles on a charge.
Okay.
So what does a normal conventional school bus cost? Just out of curiosity.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Great question.
I was just curious. Is it roughly the same? Is this twice as much?
If I would have to take a guess, I'm assuming roughly the same.
You're probably looking around 200,
yeah.
I would say, give or take.
So it's almost twice as much.
Yes.
Batteries are expensive. A battery pack. They're good for, they have a year lifespan of about 15 years. And so.
All right.
Sounds like another great deal.
All right.
And that's all I have. There's no correspondence.
Yes. Any questions or comments for the air pollution control officer? Any public comment? Okay.
I have a question on the financials.
Go ahead.
On page 4, the financials expenses by vendor detail. We talked about this once before. I don't know if there's any other way to handle it, but under Matt Peterson, the reimbursements, it's just not a good way to do it, but we don't have a credit card or anything else.
Correct. And I did talk to Karen about that, and we have a game plan. We're going to do a budget transfer from the account it came. So that money was for the reimbursable for fixing his car that we had it in the shop. And so I did talk to Karen, and she did bring that up, and we have a game plan. We're going to do a budget transfer, take the money out of the account for maintenance, and then show it that way.
But we can't. We have no way to make a direct payment.
On that instance, we had to take it to the dealership in Folsom, and they didn't want to invoice us.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay.
Here in town, when we do stuff here in town, everything is invoiced.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other board questions or comments? So I guess that's it. So our next meeting is going to be August 17th at 1:30. So this meeting will be adjourned. We'll see you then.
Thank
you
so
again,
much.
Herminia and Matt.
Herminia.
Thank you.
Good job.